Understanding financing is an interesting thing. So this is really just designed to educate, not so much entertain, but I'm going to be screen recording on my phone, which is why I'm holding my phone. So there's a couple apps that I use, and one of them is called Loan Calc, and it's just a free loan calculator. But I use this a lot to help people. Well, it helps me because we will have a total on a bike, and then a customer will have questions of what's it look like if I put $5,000 down? What's it look like if I put $10,000 down? And I can easily do that with the free loan calculator app, right? And then I also use my calculator as well. So we're going to screen record on my phone, but pretty simple stuff. So I'm not going to be using really any specifics, but kind of just laying out the framework so that you are able to do this math yourself. It's very, very simple once it's been explained to you. So the reason that I feel like this may be valuable to a lot of people is that when I go over this type of stuff with people, you'd be surprised at how many times it's the first time anyone has ever kind of broken this system down. So as you know, or if you don't know, I work at Laidlaw's. I work for Matt Laidlaw, and we don't do any dealer markup at our place. And transparency is kind of what we are all about. That's kind of what we hang our hat on. So we're not a dealership that's just like, hey, what's your payment goal? Your payment goal. And then we'll do whatever it takes to get it to that payment goal without showing you all the other numbers, right? That's not really what we do. So I've met a lot of people who buy bikes from us and buy bikes from me specifically, that this is the first time that anyone at a dealership has ever gone over numbers like this. So I'm sure there's plenty of you guys out there that already know how to do this. Maybe you have dealership experience of some kind, or you have a family member that's shown you how to do this. So it's not really anything crazy different than what you may already know. But if no one's ever shown you this, hopefully this can help you walk into a dealership situation with a little bit more understanding and a little bit more education so that you can be a more informed buyer. Figuring out your tax rate is pretty easy. You can Google your zip code and tax rate, and you can look at your tax rate. So let's say we're looking at a $15,000 bike, and if your tax rate is 6%, we're going to multiply that by 1.06%, right? So we're taking the one is the 15,000, and we're adding 6% onto it. So 15.9 is our total, right? So let's say that's our total out the door, and we're going to go over to the Loan Calc app, and we're going to take 15.9. And here are the other two factors that you need to know. You need to know what your term length is and what your APR is. So your annual percentage rate, right? So whatever your APR is going to have a very large effect, which I'll show you here, on what your monthly payment's going to be. So let's say we're taking a standard 5-year term, and we'll get into term lengths a little bit more. So stick with me here. Let's say you're on a 5-year term. Right now, I think the prime rate is what, 5.25, 5.5. So let's say we're at 5.25 for the prime rate. Now, it's hard to get the prime rate because if you're going to a lender, they're probably borrowing money at the prime rate, and then they need to make money in order to lend you the money. And so there might be at an 8% rate. But like I said, we're not talking about specifics here. We're just showing examples. So 15.9, you're financing 15.9 on a 5-year term with a 5.25 rate. Your monthly payment is $302, basically. Monthly interest is just under $37. Total interest over the life of the loan, and then your total amount. So you're financing 15.9, but if you go full term, you will pay a little bit over $18,000, right? So over a 5-year loan, I kind of look at it like, well, what am I paying in interest per year, right? So 2213 divided by 5 years is about $442 a year. I spend more than that in Monsters. So that doesn't bother me if I don't have the cash to do it. And if this is a purchase that fits within my budget and I want to do it, this is not really about buying advice. So hopefully you are responsible enough to know to stay within your budget. But let's take the same exact amount that you're financing. So we're looking at the same bike, we're looking at the same term length, but let's say you don't have the best of credit and you manage to get approved and they're requiring 10% down or a minimum down, and the rate is going to be higher. So what does this look like if we're financing the same exact amount? Obviously, you'd be putting 10% down. If you put 10% down on a $15,000 bike, you'd be putting $1,500 down. We could take $1,500 off of this, and that would lower it. So we'd be at 14.4. So it'd be a 14.4. That's with 10% down. And then let's say they try to get you at a 25% rate. So you're financing less money and you're paying more. The total interest of the loan is almost equal to the amount you financed in the first place. So your total amount that you'd pay on a $15,000 bike would be 25.5 or 25.486. So this is how APR can really have an effect on not only what your monthly payment looks like, but how much of your monthly payment goes to interest. So this example is kind of showing the extremes, like a low interest rate versus a high interest rate, and how much of a difference that can make when you're financing a very similar amount of money. And if we go back to the 15.9 number, just to show the example, 15.9 at 5 years at 25.25% is $469 a month. If we go back to five, we're talking about an extra $170 a month just in interest alone. And that's why a lot of people are very focused on what their APR is. And this is why a lot of manufacturers will offer special financing deals if they need to move specific units or if there's a recession. I remember back in, I think it was the 08 recession in 09, you know, Chevy and Ford and all the car companies were doing 0% APR, which is free financing. And they would do this in an effort to sell their merchandise, right? So you also have a lot of outside lenders, right? And outside from my bubble is someone who's not Harley Financial, right? So I work at a Harley dealership. We use primarily Harley Financial Services or Eagle Mark Savings Bank. So there can be a lot of differences with how lenders work. So typically, if a lender is going to loan you money for a motorcycle, it's considered more of a luxury loan, right? So this falls in the category of like motorhomes and boats and jewelry. This is a higher risk loan, and sometimes that can come with a little bit higher standards for what your approval will look like. So different lenders are going to offer different things. And just remember that all of them are trying to get your business, right? So most of them are really competitive, and a lot of people like to use credit unions, and credit unions are a wonderful resource. I personally have a credit union myself. My wife has a credit union. She's a teacher, so she uses School's First Credit Union. I definitely like credit unions better than I like regular banks, but when it comes to financing motorcycles, every credit union is a little bit different. Some credit unions will only finance new motorcycles. Some credit unions will do used. Some credit unions do no motorcycles at all, like School's First. They don't finance motorcycles. One of the biggest differences between a manufacturer lender like Harley Financial versus a credit union is that the credit union doesn't so much care what kind of motorcycle you're buying, as in they don't care if you're buying, like, let's say they only do new motorcycles. They don't care if it's a new BMW or a new Indian or a new Triumph or whatever it may be, right? Harley very much cares, right? So they're motivated to sell their own product. And they also put a little bit more value on their own collateral than a credit union may put. Now, this can be affected by very many factors, but oftentimes the manufacturer lender is going to lend more money. Now, this may not apply to everyone, but sometimes it's nice to be able to borrow a little bit over the value of your motorcycle so you can roll other things into your financing. So if you go to a credit union, some credit unions are only 100% of the value of the bike, and this can get a little bit tricky. So 100% of the value of the bike is MSRP. So let's say you're looking at a Road Glide that's $27,999 in 2025. If you're watching this in 2025, $27,999, and then you want a black trim bike. So that adds $1,350. And you like the Mystic Shift color, which I sold one today for Gary. Thanks, Gary. $2,200 for the Mystic Shift. And then you have manufacturer freight, you have California emissions, and then you have tax and you have license. So from that $27,999, if they're financing 100% of the value of the bike, they're loaning you about $28,000. You add all those optional features that you want. You obviously have to pay tax, or in California you do, and you have DMV fees. If you wanted to roll that into the financing, it can be difficult to do that with an outside lender. Now, let's say you wanted to do a bar job and an exhaust and some other goodies that you wanted to roll into there. All of that stuff you're going to have to put down as a down payment. So like us, we have a very high tax rate. We have a 10.75% tax rate. So let's bust out the calculator and do the math on a Mystic Shift. So we've got 27,999 We're going to add 1350 for the black trim. We're going to add 2200 for the paint. We're going to add $875 for freight. Here in California, we have a $200 California emissions charge, and that's going to give us $32,624. And then let's add our 10.75% tax rate. And in California, our registration fees are not that cheap. So let's factor $550 for registration. So now we're at $36,600. So if we take $36,600 and the bank is going to let us finance $28,000 of that, we are putting down almost $9,000, $8,681 or $8,600. So some people don't necessarily want to have to put that money down, and that can be a benefit of different lenders and making them work for your business. So the flip side to that is it can be dangerous to finance more than 100% of the value of your bike, right? So it's always good to finance less money. Some people who have worked really hard to have really good credit, they want to take advantage of some of those benefits, like having a lower interest rate and having a zero down option. But there's always the side that says, well, you probably should put money down. Like, you know, our savviest customers are putting 20% down at least. And in general, if I were saying in general, yeah, it's definitely a good idea to put money down, because the money that you owe versus what the unit is worth, the closer you are to having those numbers equal, the better off you can be. I don't know how many of you have bought a motorcycle and made your minimum payments for 2 to 3 years, and then you go to trade in your bike and you owe more than what anybody wants to pay for your bike. So this is having negative equity, and having negative equity means that you would have to pull money out of your pocket in order to get rid of that loan, right? Having a liquid asset would be the inverse, where your bike is worth $15,000, but you only owe $8,000 on it. So you'd have $7,000 of positive equity. So if you wanted to get rid of your monthly payment, you could sell that unit for $15,000 and you could pocket $7,000 of that. And this is how a lot of people will go from bike to bike to bike, is that they're always putting a significant amount of money down. They're always making more than their minimum payment, so that what they owe is always less than what their bike is worth. And then they're in a better position to trade that bike in. They have a little bit of positive equity going towards the next bike, and then they put more money down and they kind of rinse and repeat. But this is a very simple way to see what your payment is going to look like before you walk into a situation where someone is dictating these numbers to you. It would be a really good idea if you understand how these numbers work and say, okay, well, interest rates are about this. My credit score is about this. So I can probably get approved for around this interest rate. And you can round up if you want to be on the safe side and say, okay, well, let me factor in my taxes and the bike that I want to buy. And then there's also the opportunity to go with a little bit longer term length. I'm kind of a longer term length guy because I like to have the lower payment. And the reason I like to do that is because I work in sales. So we have slow times of the year, so it's nice to have a lower payment for that. And then when we have better times of the year, I'm paying extra and I'm kind of offsetting that. And I kind of have accepted that I'm going to have a Harley payment right now. This is kind of what I'm doing with my life. So it's okay as long as it fits in my budget and I have to go to a little bit longer term length. For me, that's okay. Even if the interest rate is a little bit higher, I don't plan on paying the bike off. I just want to get it to the point where I owe less than what the bike is worth on a trade value, and then I'm going to look to upgrade to something else. So let's say you do want that Road Glide and you do want to put zero down, and we're at that 36.6 number. And then you're looking at, okay, well, what are rates looking like for a 5-year loan and for a 6-year loan, a 7-year loan? You can call your credit union and ask them, you know, how much are you willing to finance on a motorcycle and what are your interest rates for your different term lengths? And they'll probably offer you, you know, a 48, a 60, and a 72, an 84, a 96, whatever they offer, and the different interest rates that you may qualify for. So let's say you have good credit, but not perfect 850 credit score, but you've got a 698, you know, and you're going to qualify for an 8.5% rate on a 5-year term. And you want to buy this Mystic Shift bike, since we kind of did those numbers here. So on a 5-year term, you'll probably have somewhere around an 8% loan, right? So let's say we're at an 8.69. Again, these are not specifics. I'm just want to show you how term lengths can affect your payment. So if you have an 8% rate or an 8 and change rate on a 36.6 finance amount at 5 years, you have a 754 payment, right? So we're not going to change anything on the amount financed. You're still buying the same bike, but you can extend your loan to a 6-year loan. And a 6-year loan, they may jump the interest rate up but your payment is still going to drop down lower. And you can go even further. And even though this is going to go up a point or a couple points, what you can tell is that over the life of the loan, you would pay more money because there's more payments, and every payment that you're making has an interest fee. But like I said, for me, as long as it fits in my family's budget, and this is something that brings me value in my life, and I'm not being irresponsible with my monthly payment, then this is what I'm going to do. So a lot of people will ask, like, when's a good time to buy a bike? And when are rates going to drop? And when are they going to do promos and stuff like that? With those kinds of things, you just kind of have to be ready. The manufacturers are going to do it when they're ready to do it and when they need to move units. And if they do run a special like that and you're in a position to buy and the interest rate is very, very important to you, sometimes it can make a really big difference to where if you're getting a low enough promo rate, it makes sense to just go full term and make minimum payments. Because if you're paying a couple hundred dollars a year in interest, that probably means that from a financial standpoint, it may make more sense to finance it than it would to pay it off in cash. So if you've got money in the bank, you've got a high yield savings account that's giving you an APY of 4.84, and you have 20 grand in the bank at that, and you can finance a bike at a promo rate on a 1.99 or something like that, you're better off keeping your money in the bank and earning 4.84 on it and financing that same amount of money for 1.99 than you would be to pull your money out of that 4.84 to buy a bike in cash that's offering 1.99 financing on it. Also, your amount financed can make a really big difference. If you're able to put a significant amount of money down, it completely changes the game. If you're not in a position to put money down, or you just simply don't want to put money down, it just means you're going to have to commit to that bike a little bit longer or make chunk payments at it to make sure that you are keeping up with the extra costs that you financed in. Like if you did roll in extra parts, or you roll in extra warranty, you financed your taxes and your DMV fees, it might take you significantly more monthly payments to get you caught up to that point to where what you owe is closer to what your bike is worth. And that's totally fine. Most of us are fine keeping our bikes for an extended amount of time, or for at least the amount of time that we're financing the bike. So these are just some things to consider. And if a friend is asking you, hey, what are my payments going to look like? Send them this video or send them the app and show them, you know, hey, if you're going to finance this amount of money, it's very easy to do the math, right? So, you know, a 10% down payment is very easy to factor off of the price of a bike, right? And you can kind of figure out, you can get very, very close, even if you don't have the full pricing structure at your disposal, of where your payment should be based on the amount of money that you're spending, right? So at least you can walk into a dealership, whether this is a car or you're financing anything, and you can almost reverse engineer how much money you're spending. Like, okay, well, this either means that my rate is really high or I'm financing more than I think I should be financing. I think it's a really good thing to have that understanding, because you'd be surprised at how many people I meet coming into the dealership that have such a defensive barrier and wall up and a mistrust for people in the dealership industry. And I don't fault them for that. They probably have a reason for that. Hopefully it's not just hearsay and, you know, everybody that works at a dealership is a piece of shit. But the amount of times that I have dealt with that defensiveness, and the amount of times that I've had to assure people that, hey, man, the pricing is the easiest part here at Laidlaw. It's like, the most important part is making sure that you are getting on the right bike. And we get to spend time talking about the fun stuff. So this should be a very enjoyable experience, right? You're making a large purchase. You're potentially financing a whole lot of money. For most of us, this is a significant purchase. And I've had plenty of customers that have really no concept of where their payment is going to land. That's why they came in, is to see how much this is going to cost. And then there's also a fair amount of customers that, you know, once I show them what their payment's going to be, they're like, yeah, that's what I expected. Now, for the latter customer is more preferable, right? So if I don't have to explain how we ended up at this number, there's a little bit of a shorthand there. And an educated and informed customer feels a lot more confident in their purchase because they don't have these questions. Now, there's nothing wrong with not having this information on hand as a customer. But if we sit down and we look at a bike and you know the price, and I break down the pricing structure and the tax and all that, and then you see the payment and it completely blows you away, there's a disconnect there. And so we'll will stop and will take the time. That's really why I have the app, is so I can show people, you know, how these things work. And that way they can have confidence and they know what they're getting themselves into when they're signing a contract. But there can oftentimes be a little skepticism. So when you're hearing this information for the first time, and if you guys have known this information for a long time and you think back to when you first learned this information, it can be very difficult to know, okay, well, is this really what it is? Because if you have those defenses up and you have those barriers up and you don't trust the person who's showing you the numbers, and maybe they're hiding something, maybe they're lying, maybe they're a sleazy used car salesman, whatever the case may be, and you have those defenses up, you don't really know if the information that's being divulged to you is 100% accurate or not. So if you walk in understanding how these things work, you really only need three numbers. What's my finance amount? What's my term length? And what's my APR? And then you can plug in these numbers and see what they should be. And if those numbers don't shake out and there's a disparity between what your calculator is showing you and what the payment amount says from the dealership, then one of those numbers is off. Either the interest rate is higher or your finance amount is larger than it should be. This has become especially important as of late. Not so much important, but I guess a little bit. People are paying a little bit more attention to this because APRs have gone up significantly over the last 5-10 years. And, you know, if you've been financing things and you're my age, I'm 44 years old, I've been financing things for a long time, and rates just aren't what they used to be for a well-qualified buyer. And that can kind of be frustrating with how things are. And sometimes people are buying a rate more so than they're buying a motorcycle. And I'm not here to be your financial advisor. I'm a big proponent of you spending money wherever you want to spend your money, as long as you're not hurting anybody. That's totally fine. You buy whatever you want to buy. But one of the biggest things that I wanted to impress upon people is understanding how this works and how APR can have an effect, good or bad, depending on which way it lands, on what your monthly payment looks like and what you're going to pay over the life of the loan if you go full term. So this is a very deep rabbit hole, and you can go way further down it with like simple interest loans. So simple interest loans are calculated per diem, right? So a lot of people, like myself included, I make two payments a month on my monthly payment, because, you know, your per diem is calculating per day. So if you make a payment before your statement date is due, you're actually saving a little bit of interest, and it doesn't add up to be that much, but, you know, I'm a little bit old school, and this is how I learned to do it from my parents, and so these are habits that I've always kept. But as interest rates are going up and well-qualified buyers are paying higher rates than they would expect to pay, it really can become a point of contention, and I think we should all be pretty judicious about, you know, how we're spending our money, right? You guys know I'm cheap, so I'm always pinching pennies. And I'm not in the business of telling you how you should or shouldn't spend your money or what you should consider as an acceptable rate for your loan. But if you do have a credit union, if you have different options for lenders that you can compare against each other, then you can kind of get a little bit more objective view of, hey, how much does it cost to finance this at two or three different lenders? And then you can see, okay, well, they're all pretty close to each other. You go with the lender that gives you the best deal, whether it's the best interest rate, or if you want to do zero down, you're going with the lender who's willing to loan you the most money. Or maybe you're going with convenience. You finance everything through your credit union because your direct deposit goes there. They'll auto deduct your payment, whatever it may be. But just like if you're my customer, I'm going to work for your business. I'm going to give you a reason to buy from me rather than buying from somewhere else, whether that's price or buying experience or the time that I'm going to spend with you and the relationship that we're going to build, because I'm your local dealership and you're coming in once a week and, you know, people know your name when you come in. There's a lot of value in little things like that. And I think the banks should have to work for your business in that respect as well. So when it comes to financing, if you've got all the money in the world, this probably doesn't matter to you. Maybe some of you are only buying bikes that you can afford to buy in cash. And I think that is a very valid way to do it. Everybody's finances are a little bit different. Again, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not telling you what you should or should not spend your money on. But if you want to buy a motorcycle, I think it's a really smart idea to understand how financing works, so that if there's a really good rate, you can take advantage of that and keep your money in the bank earning interest. Or if you're not in a position to buy the motorcycle you want outright in cash, maybe you just don't have the tens of thousands of dollars, but that's the bike that you want and your only way to get it is to finance it. At least you're going in with a little bit of understanding of how this stuff works. So for my demographic, most of you guys are my age. I look at the analytics. I think everybody's like, you know, 40 to 60 that watches my channel. You guys probably know all this stuff. But if you got youngsters that are looking to get into this stuff, they start asking you questions about this stuff, maybe you could just send them this video and kind of give them a breakdown of how this works, or share with them a loan calculator app. And a lot of this stuff is like, the answers are, you can just Google it. Honestly, you can just watch a YouTube video and someone can teach you about this stuff. And I have countless degrees from YouTube University. There's so much that I've learned from watching videos and just Googling stuff. You can just Google a loan calculator and it will give you the same formula as what you're seeing on the screen now. So if this is the first time that you're seeing this, I hope it helps you out. If you already know this stuff, maybe, you know, it gives you extra ways to explain it to your friends if they're asking you questions about it. This is one of the videos that I don't think will be super popular within my demographic. Sorry, guys. Thank you for watching. I appreciate you. But it is something that I want to have out there just in case it helps someone. If, you know, kind of like the motorcycle 101 buying, is that there's some philosophical things and some basic scratching the surface educational stuff that I think is really important that it's out there. And if I'm putting out free content, this is the kind of stuff that I really want to have available to welcome in new people to the community. So if you have any more specific questions, just let me know. All my contact info is in my bio, or you can message me on Instagram, and I'm always happily chatting with people on there. So it's great. And don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to comment. I respond to every single comment. So, and I will until I get to the point where I have a gazillion followers and a gazillion comments per video, and there's just no way I could respond to every video without having a full staff of people. When I get to that point, I don't know, I won't be financing bikes, right? I'll just be buying them cash. I'll see you guys on the next one.